for the next 12, 15 minutes or so, I want to talk about some things that I believe that if we will do, that it's going to give us a renewed appreciation for our lives and for what God has done for us. I think some of you, most of you probably are already doing these things. And so maybe as far as that goes, that there should be some attaboys and attagirls on this as far as continue to do well. But what I want to talk about this evening is in part a continuation of what we were talking about this morning, but I really want to emphasize the privilege of service and the magnitude of the blessing that God has given us in His offer to allow us and our families to serve Him for all eternity. I don't know that we really can comprehend fully the depth of this gift, but think about it for a moment. God has extended to you an offer of service to Him. It's an offer that is, if it was in the world, would call it a dream job. Imagine what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve before they fell, to have satisfying work in a paradise, to be in a situation where God Himself was their parent, closely interacting with them, watching over them, making sure that they had everything that they needed. And in return, their job was to take care of the garden. They had a duty that I'm sure was a full-time duty, but imagine the pleasant service. When they started having their children, they had the duty to make sure that these children were raised to know God and to know the consequences for going outside of His commandments, but also the blessings and the satisfaction of serving Him to the utmost of their ability. Think about the situation with the prodigal son. We often correctly focus upon the great love that the father had for the son who was wayward, and how he was looking for him to return so that when he started back, he could help him every step of the way once he had repented. But very often, I have a hard time really thinking about where the faithful son was, and how angry he was at a situation that he should have been thrilled with, and his father had to remind him, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The son who did not go off had the very presence of his father. He was taken care of. He had the hope of an incredible inheritance. The service that he did should not have been something that was a burden to him. Stephen Covey wrote a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Individuals. It's got to be the longest title for any book I've ever seen. But he had a comment in it that just, when you hear it, you're going to say, "Well, duh." But here was his comment. "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." It's just, "Oh, that's brilliant." But it is brilliant. When I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, I can very vividly remember the end of the day when the hostesses, the ones who were waiting on the customers, they would get the lobby all cleaned up, and then a customer would come in at the last minute, and then they'd want to sit in the lobby, the clean lobby, and the manager would have to remind them, sometimes me, which they took really well, an 18-year-old kid, would have to remind them that the reason we are here is to sell chicken to these people who want to consume it. That's what we're here for. Cleaning the lobby is part of our duty, yes, but we're here to serve the chicken to the people, not to clean a lobby. If we wanted a clean lobby, we could keep the doors locked all the time. Same thing in the kitchen for we cooks. Somebody would come in and we were ready to go. Everything was cleaned up and some wise guy would want to order, you know, two whatever buckets of chicken. And we'd have to get everything dirty. And we'd have to clean everything up. And oh, you should see the joy on the faces of the cooks. We cooks back there. And the reason was because we failed to realize the reason that we were provided a salary was because we were working for people who wanted to buy chicken from us. We would start to think that the reason we were there was to have a clean kitchen so we could go home. And I think while we're here on this earth, one of the greatest struggles that we will have is thinking that we are here just to provide a roof over our children's head, just to provide food for our table, just to make sure that the utility bills are paid for, just to make sure that our vehicles are running. And we get so involved and so caught up with these things that must be done, they're necessary to be done, that sometimes we forget to keep the main thing the main thing. You and I are here to serve God for a very brief, short period of time. And if we will just do it in His way and come back to Him when we fail to, on His terms, we get to be with Him forever, serving Him forever. This is the greatest gift, the greatest offer that's ever been given to anybody, an offer of serving the Creator of the universe. And the one who died for us. And to allow our children to understand the joy of that service. And someday be together as families, an extended family, serving Him. That's the main thing. In Psalms 144, verse 3. O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. How quick time goes by. I don't know why I have vivid memories of the times when I was 4 years old until about the time I was 64 years old, but I do, and I cannot remember that Oliver's name is Oliver or your name is your name, but that's just the way my memory works. It doesn't seem that long ago that my mom was telling me to wipe my feet when I came into the kitchen when I was a little kid. Life's brief. If we're not careful, we're going to let it slip by and we're going to let it be consumed by the immediate, by the pressing, by the urgent and the demanding, rather than the most important, rather than the main thing. And so God wants us to understand your life's brief. The idea is don't miss what you're here for. Psalms 39, verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. Sometimes we act like we're on our way to the moon when we've got this distance from here to here. That's what the physical life is in comparison to the eternal. And if we can keep the eternal ever in mind and the idea that we're here to serve God to the best of our ability now because it's such a great privilege, because this is what God wants of us, because He loved us so much, why would we want to do anything else? If we can keep in mind that we're here as servants, He's going to allow us that service through eternity. And what will that be like? Do you know how many people spend their entire life working towards retirement? And their dream is that they will get someplace in some paradise, maybe off-grid. My dream is no cell phones. Maybe off-grid somewhere in a place that they're self-sustaining. This is the way man began in Eden. What will heaven be like? And what kind of work will we have? Think about the parables. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of 10 cities. What does that mean? I don't know that these are 10 literal cities. I don't know what's going to happen after this. But that was the comparison Jesus made. Important, satisfying work is waiting for us. If we can remember that this brief time is just the trial period. And if we can remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. In Psalms chapter 49, verse 10, all can see that the wise men die. The foolish and senseless perish. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations. And listen to this. Though they named lands after themselves, But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves. If you and I get so caught up in the physical things of life and we make them the main thing, even if we do well and we gain great riches, even if we get honors to where people name things after us, Rickland, when you die, I doubt if that. I can tell you this. George Washington's name is on just about a million things in America. There's even Washington states and Washington, D.C. and everything. If George Washington was saved, that would mean nothing to him because he's got something way better. And if he was lost when he died, these things would mean nothing. He's either already receiving his reward or sleeping and waiting for the reward. I have to admit there are different directions that sometimes the scriptures indicate, and we just have to be satisfied that God will take care of everything right. Or he is in torment waiting for the judgment day. You can have all sorts of honors. And isn't that what we work for? Don't we want those? When we're in high school, don't we want to win state in something? When we're adults, don't we want to get some kind of recognition in an area that's important to us, even if it's just amongst our associates or on a bigger level, if that's what you want? But if our perspective is wrong, then during this fleeting few moments of time, it won't mean anything. And so God over and over and over gives us the perspective. James talks about it this way in the New Testament. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Well, you don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. Isn't that true? Thursday morning when Becca took off and Josh took off for Lubbock, we just assumed that we would hear from the place, an indoor place of some kind, that they'd had the baby safe and sound, when in fact they were racing against the clock and they didn't even make it indoors. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, even when you make careful plans, even when you think you do. And so James's point through inspiration is, since you don't know this, ask yourself the question, what is your life? Get a firm grip on what you're here for. You're here to serve God. So start using this time to start focusing on that service. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. Now, James is not saying that every time you talk about, I'm going to go out and play a basketball game, that you say, the Lord willing. Nothing wrong with saying that. It's the attitude he's concerned about. We ought to have this understanding. I want to do this if it's the Lord's will. And I'm going to do this if it's the Lord's will. But if it's not, I don't want to do it. Even Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, wanting at least the moment to pass from him temporarily to where he didn't have to die right then, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus' prayer, his request was given to him. It was granted. And so too will yours, but we have to remember the perspective. God's will is the most important. And so this is what we want. But the point of all this is, we're just here for a brief amount of time. I believe God wants us to enjoy it. I believe he wants us to be the happiest people in the world so that we can reflect Christ in our lives, so that we can draw others to him and to Christ. And so should we be happy? Should we have joy? The answer to that is absolutely. But we also need to keep our perspective. That'll help us from getting too carried away, and you can talk to Carolyn, sometimes I do. It'll keep us from getting too carried away with the physical, and it will allow us to keep the main thing the main thing. I love Joshua's attitude, and I can tell you this, for Carolyn and I, Our strongest desire is for us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for each one in each generation to be a servant of God. Because if they will, then they'll not be lost. And there's no greater privilege on earth than to be a servant. So let's raise servants and let's raise happy children so that they can draw others to Christ and so they can be happy as well. But let's serve God. Let's make that the main thing, the main thing. And as far as the brevity of life, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Because the moment we draw our last breath here, that's when our real life begins. If you're not prepared for that real life, I would encourage you to really start deeply considering these things. And if you are preparing as best you can, then keep up the good work. The invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do that while we start.